Lord, we just thank you this morning, Lord, that we are loved by you, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you would just bless this time together, Lord. Just let your Holy Spirit move upon this place, Lord, like never before. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your Son and all that he has done for us, Lord, that we could have eternal life if we would but trust in him. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. We've been speaking the last few weeks, except last week we talked about fathers and men, you know, within our church, within our community of believers, you know, of what we are to do for Christ, how we are to stand up, how we are to sharpen iron, you know, by sharpening each other, you know, and I want to move back this week into encounter. And as we go into church camp, even tomorrow, and you know, and I know we're praying for church camp, and we need to be praying for church camp, and I desire that you would pray for that all week. But I've been praying all this week for us right here this morning too, because we need to have an encounter with God, with the living God that loves us and cares about us, and that cares about what we're going through in our lives. And even though we will not necessarily deny him, but we will have thoughts and our faith will falter at times, God still loves us. And that's something that I am glad to know, because I do have them times in my life where, God, why is this happening? What's going on in this situation? And then I look back and I think, God, what am I doing? You are the God of the universe. You are the King of kings. You are the one who died on the cross, paid for my sins, who rose again and was victorious over death and ascended to the Father. And you are sitting on his right hand right now waiting to come and get your church. And I will have to tell you, folks, that I wouldn't be waiting if I was you to be saved if you have not been saved. I wouldn't take that chance, because I don't think it's going to be very long. And I believe that the Lord is going to return and he is going to call his church home. And as we think about that, I want you to think about your family and your friends, your neighbors, all those around you. Have you told them about Jesus? Have you shared the gospel with them? That is the most important thing that you will ever do in your life for your friend, is to share the gospel with them. To tell them about Jesus. That Jesus is the only one that is able to forgive us our sins and is the only one who is able to take us to heaven because of who he is. Man, God is calling you this morning. He is desiring to have an encounter with you even amongst our mistakes. Even amongst our troubles, our trials in this life, God is desiring to have an encounter with you. And this 20th chapter of John, verses 19 through 29, is an encounter that Jesus had with his disciples. And Jesus has risen from the grave, and then he had went to his disciples. And I just want to kind of give a little background about the book of John. The book of John is not necessarily in chronological order. So when we say the, when we start talking about these things, we might say, you know, well, is this a second or the first and then the day of Pentecost a second time that we encounter the Holy Spirit? But you just remember that John writes in a different way than some of the other apostles. So in thinking that, I don't believe that there was one encounter where God had made or God has sent the Holy Spirit upon His people, you know, and that was on the day of Pentecost whenever it went upon Peter. So as we look at this, we have different ideals about this. And believe me, as you read this and as I read this, you know, I'm thinking like, okay, what does this mean? And then you read some people that you trust and think about what they're saying and what the Bible's saying and how we read the whole of the book of John, and we look at that and we kind of come to a conclusion on that, on what it's saying here. But just think of this, that Jesus has risen from the dead. And He goes to meet with His disciples. And I would say today that Jesus desires to come and meet with you. Because we serve the same Jesus that Peter, that John, you know, and Thomas, and all the other disciples that they served. It's the same Jesus. It's not a different one. It's not a same or a different Jesus today than it was the day that He met with His disciples. It's the same Jesus. Jesus is eternal. Jesus has always been. Oh, wait a second, Brother Jimmy. Wasn't He born in Bethlehem? Jesus has always been. And He will always be. There has never been a time that Jesus did not exist. And in this passage, you know, it's just Jesus is looking at bringing peace to us, bringing comfort to us in our life. Because these disciples were scared. These disciples were nervous. You know, their Savior, the one that they had walked with for the last 3 years, the one that they gave their whole lives to, He was killed, murdered on a cross and buried, and they were afraid that the same fate may come to them, that the Romans would come and take them, that they would be persecuted, that they would be killed, and they were afraid, and Jesus came to them. And I would tell you that we may be that same way today. With all this happening all over the world, we may be saying, well, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know one thing, that Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still in control. And I'm trusting in Him. And no one else. That's who I trust in. And that's what these disciples needed in their life at this moment in time. And I believe that's what we in our lives at this moment in time need today, as Jesus is bringing us peace. Our peace comes from Him. I have peace in my heart. He starts in verse 19. If you have your Bibles, I would ask that you would turn there. John chapter 20, starting in verse 19. And it says, in the same day at evening, during the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And 29 is our memory verse also. And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord. Just let it guide us in our lives, Lord. Let it speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we look through this passage and think of what Jesus was doing, Jesus had showed up after he had resurrected, after the disciples had great fear. Jesus showed up in the middle of the room with the doors being closed. And I would assume what he means by the doors being closed, that the doors were locked, that there was no one coming in, but Jesus came in. That tells us something about Jesus' resurrected body, and it tells us also that we're going to have a body like Jesus one day. I'm going to be able to walk through walls. I don't know why I'd need to, but I'm going to be able to walk through some walls. But we can look at, and we've seen some video of people going through walls, but it was on a comical sense because they just went through the wall and, oh, I think I seen back here in the back one time, but neither one of them boys are here. Called Garrett and Drake. Where is that? Yeah, I think one of them's head went through the wall back here in the back one time. And they asked me, "Brother Jimmy, we put a hole in the wall." And I said, "Don't tell me. You're going to have to go tell Brother Bill." They didn't want to do that, but I made them do that. But it was comical to watch them, you know, but Jesus showed up in this room with the disciples, and he first told them that he was bringing the presence or peace in the presence of them, because Jesus greeted them with peace. Do we need peace this morning in our lives? Folks, I need peace this morning. You know, we get nervous, we get anxious about the things of this world that are going on around us, and Jesus comes in and says, "It's going to be all right. I've got you. You're one of mine. Peace be to you. Comfort be to you." And that's what I tell you today. If you know Jesus Christ and your Savior, you don't have to worry about today, tomorrow, or your future, because we have peace with Jesus. I can have this great peace in me that I don't have to be this anxious and this undetermined about what's going to happen tomorrow, because I know if I leave this world that I'm going to be better off because I'm going to be with Jesus. And if he comes back, I'm going to meet him in the sky and I will forever be with the Lord, the one who died for me. So he greets us with peace. And whenever we have an encounter with Jesus, Jesus does not greet us in a condescending way. He does not say, "Well, what have you done wrong? You're terrible." He greets us with love and with peace and desiring for us to follow him, to come back to him. Folks, and that's what I desire for you today, is that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, that you believe in Him and you experience this peace, just like He went with His disciples, His children. He met them with peace, even in their most heartache, in their most stressful time probably of their life. Jesus come to them, and He had the significance, and there was significance of His peace or His presence. Do you like to live and walk in the presence of Jesus? Could you imagine? I could think about Jesus standing there with them disciples in that room, them 11. Probably was more people there than that. And they were nervous. And then the man that walked with them 3 years, that they trusted in to keep them safe, walked in and said, "Hey, how's it going?" And it brought this peace about them. And it was because they were in His presence. And this morning, we are in the presence of Jesus. Is Jesus physically standing here? No, but His Spirit is here with us. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear what's going on around us, because Jesus is with us. You know, I get anxious about church camp. You know, I say, "Why do you get anxious about church camp?" You know, because we have almost, I think it's 297, I think is the last count I had. That's a lot of people to be responsible for. And you look at that and you think, man, it's just, how's this all going to work? Is everything going to be all right? Are we going to have any troubles? Are we going to have any stresses? Is there anything going to happen to someone? I have all of these worries a lot of times. And then we just relax and say, "God, thank you for being with me." And just helping to guide me with your presence, because I can feel Him. We don't have to see Him to be able to feel Him. And there's that transformation of fear into joy. Why? Because we're in the presence of the King of Kings. We're in the presence of the One who died for us. We're in the presence of the One who gave Himself on the cross so that we could have eternal life, that loves us more than any person that you can ever imagine in this world. Jesus loves you more. It does something to us. The fear just washes away, and we have joy when we get into His presence. It's kind of like a child that is scared because they're maybe alone in a room, or they're in a room with a lot of people they don't know, and then mom or dad or grandma or grandpa walk in. And what do? They go running to them. And mom and dad, they reach down, they grab them up, and they hold them close. And what does that child feel? Safe. That's how we should feel in the presence of Jesus. We feel safe. Because we have no longer have the fear that is inside of us. We are grateful. We are joyful that He is here. He is with us within our life. But guess what? He's not just here with us on Sunday mornings. He's with us on Monday mornings and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. He never leaves us. And that's what I love about what He tells us, you know, in the Gospels, that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us, that He will always be with us and He will always have that peace. And we can always have that peace in His presence. What an encounter we can have with God. Peace. And I pray that you experience that in your life. And I believe we experience that the more, or the closer we get to Him, we experience that more. Because in close proximity to Him, when we can see Him, we have that safety. We have that joy. And I pray that that's you to this morning, that you have experienced that in your life, that you have experienced Jesus Christ and all that He has to offer you. And as we look at them verses, again, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the door was shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews," so they had fear, "Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." They were glad. They had joy because they knew who was with them. They knew that this was the Savior of the world, that this was the one who walked with them throughout them years. You walk with Jesus. Man, I don't want anyone in here this morning to leave this building without knowing Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, and rose again. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to experience, have that encounter with Him and feel His peace by being close to Him. But He also shows this proof of love in our life in verses 21 through 23. You know, the commissioning of the disciples. He loves us. So what does He do? So He sends us out to tell others about Him. And that's what I love about the Gospels, is the Gospel is throughout the Gospels. That we can look at the Gospel and we can know that Jesus is calling all of you and myself to Him each and every day of our lives to have a deeper relationship. You know, in commissioning of His disciples in verse 21, He says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Peace to you, as the Father has sent Me, I also send you.' But I don't send you by yourself. I don't send you by yourself so that you are afraid, that you have fear. I am sending you with the Holy Spirit, and He will always be with you." And I love that about Jesus. He said, "I'm not sending you out on your own. I'm not asking you to do this by yourself. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit." And I believe it's in chapter 17, 16 and 17, I believe both of them, where Jesus talks about, "If I go away, I will send the Comforter. I will send the One who loves you, that is there to help guide you, that is there to be with you always." So He sent them out to do a job, but He did not send them alone. But I would tell you, you know, that this is the great commission of the book of John. You know, we have Luke's You know, and we have Matthew's and we have Mark's. Then we have John's. He said, I'm going to send you out because the Father has sent you me. He said, I will send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sin of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sin of any, they are retained. And I will tell you, verse 23 was the most boggling to my mind until I figured it out, which I already knew. Guess who can't forgive sin? I cannot forgive sin. But what do I have? I have the gospel. I have what goes out into this world to share with people. And what forgives sins? Jesus does. The gospel does. I have the power to give the forgiveness of sins through the gospel. I don't forgive anyone. It's what happened in the gospel that forgives sins. And if those who reject the gospel, guess what? Their sins will be retained to them. They will continue in their sins. But if they accept that gospel, if they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be forgiven of their sins. So it's not me forgiving them their sins. It's not the disciples forgiving their sins. It's the power that is inside them called the Holy Spirit, which is speaking out the gospel. Man, the gospel forgives us. Why? Because what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's what He did on the cross that He paid my penalty. He paid your penalty for sin on the cross. Who else would do that? I will tell you, no one else could do that. But Jesus, because He was the sacrifice, He was the lamb that was slain for me and you. Man, God is desiring to do something in our life, and He is desiring to commission us to go out and to be disciples to this lost and dying world. And He has given us the authority of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit can forgive sins, because it says, wait a second, brother. You said that Jesus could forgive sins. Yeah, He can forgive sins. The Father can forgive sins, and the Holy Spirit. Because who can forgive sins? God can forgive sins. The Holy Spirit is the messenger of Jesus Christ. Man, so let that sink in our lives. And we should have the authority to forgive sins. It is we have the authority to preach the gospel. It's been given to the church to send out. What is Matthew 28? You know, as we think of as the Great Commission, you know, we think of the book of Acts, you know, the first part of it, Acts chapter 1, you know, of the Great Commission in the book of Acts, you know, but in the Great Commission, you know, in Matthew 28, which is the most popular one, it says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He is telling us to go out, and go out with peace, go out with authority. Don't go out with like we are weak, because we're not weak, because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So go out with authority. You know you have the authority to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because of who lives inside of you. Not because well, I'm Jimmy Owens and I'm the pastor, so I have the authority. No, it has nothing to do with being the pastor. It has nothing to do with being Jimmy Owens. It has something to do with Jesus Christ and Him living inside of us. So I would ask that you would go out and that you would share the gospel and you would receive His love this morning. It is a love story that He has given to you to share with the world. Because He did this because He loves you. And then we go into verses 24 through 29. It's talking about a personal encounter that He had with someone, that He had with Thomas. And this may be me and you today. We may be Thomas. We may be a bunch of Thomases. A lot of times we say, well, I'm like Peter. I'm a Peter. We may be like Thomas, that we don't trust. Well, I want to see. Is seeing faith? No. Man, we look at Acts or Hebrews chapter 11, and you know, we talk about, you know, the Hebrew or the faith chapter of the gospel and these men and women of faith, you know, and they believed God. They didn't have to see, they just believed. But he had a personal encounter. And this is kind of where it goes with us today. You know, starting in verse 24, it says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the twelve, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hand in inside, I will not believe.'" God, I know you said you was going to that you can do this, but really, I'm not real sure, Lord. Lord, I know you told me to do this, Lord, but I'm not sure, Lord. I need a sign. Lord, will you write it on the wall? And the Lord says, "I ain't writing on the wall. I told you, it's the truth. You need to have faith in me." And that's hard. It's hard in our life, you know, because we are a society that we want to see things. We want proof. Well, we always say there's proof in the pudding. There is proof in the pudding. What is it? You know, that He has sustained us, that He has protected us, that He has guided us, that He has done all these things throughout our lives in the past, and we can look back and see them, and it should cause us to have faith in His future desires for us. But Thomas's doubt and desire for proof, I think Thomas wanted to believe it was the Lord. Man, Thomas had been through a situation, you know, a terrible situation, just like the other apostles. And Thomas just was not sure. Do I think Thomas was saved? Yes, I believe Thomas was saved. But Thomas was having a hiccup. And I believe we all have hiccups from time to time, and we desire for proof before we step out and believe. And God says, just step out. But what I love about this story is even, and I said this earlier, even in our struggles in life of unbelief, Jesus is still there. He's there. And He's not going to forsake you. And He's not going to leave you because you said or you had a thought, you know, like, "God, I'm not sure, Lord. I'm not sure." Jesus is there to help you along. He's there to bring you peace. So what did he do with Thomas? And Jesus said to Thomas, or let me back up a little bit. In verse 27, he said, "Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Jesus did not write Thomas off, but Thomas believed. And he told him, "Do not unbelieve. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And that's what this second part of it, you know. And what did Thomas do? What was the result of Thomas? What was it with his encounter with God? He said, "My Lord and my God." Sometimes we need an extra little boost, but I will tell you that Jesus desires for us to believe without seeing. The blessing of those who believe without seeing. In verse 29 it says, "Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, you have seen me, and you have believed. But blessed are those," that's us, "who have not seen and yet have believed." Man, I trust in Jesus. I believe in Him with all of my heart. I love Jesus. But there's sometimes I need a little encouragement, because I struggle. But said, "Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Lord, I want to believe, and I want to trust, and I want to be able to step out of the boat even when I don't see you. But I can feel you, and I can hear you within my heart." To have an encounter with God brings us peace this morning. To have an encounter with God drives away fear and brings us joy. I believe just like a child that was scared, and mom and dad show up and they run to them. I want to have that feeling in my life. Because one thing that I have experienced in my life is I can let my head get the best of me. When I need to let my heart give me peace. Because all of the stuff that goes on around me, we need to trust in Jesus. This morning I would ask you, if you have put your trust in Jesus, that you recognize and know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's all of us. That we have all fallen short. We have all missed the mark. We have all not hit where we were aiming for, or what we should have been aiming for. And I know a couple years ago, Jacob had this demonstration at church camp. We was all a little nervous about it. He remembers it, but we was all a little nervous about it. That he had a target, and he had an arrow, and he had his bow. And he shot the bow at a target, at a mark. And we in our lives, we miss that mark. We don't measure up to God's standard. I said, Brother Jimmy, that just sounds discouraging. It is discouraging. And the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve for our sins, because we have missed the mark, because we have not lived up to God's standard. The result of that is death. But I'm glad that verse doesn't end there. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we may have missed the mark, but we can have eternal life because Jesus paid our penalty. He paid what we owed on the cross. He paid what you owed on the cross. And He died as the sacrificial lamb so that His blood would cover our sin. And what He tells us, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ died for our sins and it rose again, we shall be saved. So if you confess with your mouth and believed in your heart, have you trusted in Him? Not trusting Him walking the aisle one day, not trusting in Him baptismal waters, but trusted in Jesus. And put your faith in Him. And whenever you have that encounter with God, He changes you from the inside, works its way out in your life. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He works out. He starts with your heart. He transforms it. Then He works it out. Folks, do we know Jesus this morning? Have you trusted in Him? Have you gave your heart to Jesus Christ this morning so that He has control of your life? I don't want the Lord to return and you to think that you know Jesus. I want the Lord to return and you know that you know Jesus, that you know that you have put your trust and your faith in Him as Lord and as Savior, and that you will go to be with Him when you leave this world. Let's all stand this morning as we have a song of invitation. And our invitation song this morning is Goodness of God. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, if there's one here that does not know You as Lord and as Savior, Lord, that today would be that day that they would give their life to You, Lord. That they recognize, Lord, that they have missed the mark, Lord, that they have not hit the mark, and the wages of their sin is death, but You stepped in, Lord, and sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for their sins and to pay their penalty, Lord, what they owed. And if they would trust in Your Son, that they can be saved this morning. And others, Lord, that may have drifted away from You, Lord, and need to come back, Lord, and get on fire for You, Lord, and have an encounter with You today, that You would have that encounter with them. Lord, I just want Your Holy Spirit to work on lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.